Nice to see you all. If you're visiting, lovely to have you with us. Now then, so we went to Folly Farm yesterday. Fantastic. We saw a flamboyance of flamingos, a creep of tortoise, and a clan of meerkats. So got educated and had fun at the same time. The meerkats, they are headers. Have you ever watched meerkats? They were brilliant. I'd love it if they were my mates. Not only can they sell 2-for-1 cinema tickets, but they're a good laugh as well, so great friends to have. Now then, have you ever experienced a significant day in your lives? Yes, I'm sure we have, okay? Well, last Sunday was a significant day in the sporting world, okay? Now, if you don't like sport, please don't switch off straight away, okay? Because this is part of my introduction, all right? But last Sunday was Super Sunday, and loads of amazing things happened last Sunday, okay? So, for example, the women's ladies final in Wimbledon was won by Simona Halep, okay? And she beat Serena Williams. It was a little bit of a shock, but she did really well. And what was interesting, it was in less than an hour, and apparently it was the cleanest Wimbledon final since they started taking records in 1998, as in there was only 3 unforced errors, or forced errors, whichever way around it is, okay? The men's single final, Novak Djokovic beat Roger Federer, the great Roger Federer. So Novak won his 5th title. But what was amazing is this was the longest ever Wimbledon final in 4 hours and 57 minutes. Can you see how amazing this Sunday was? This is history in the making, okay? And we are alive to see this, all right? Yes. Lewis Hamilton claimed his 6th Silverstone Grand Prix in Britain, which beats the record of Alain Prost, okay? So that is all, this is all happening in one day, like. This is amazing, isn't it? Are you amazed yet? Because by the end of 12:15, you better be amazed, let me tell you. All right, and then finally, now then, hold on to your seats, right? Right, for those of you who don't like cricket, it's tough because something amazing happened last Sunday, okay? The Welsh and English cricketing board won the World Cup of the One Day International Cricket Competition. Isn't that amazing? I think that deserves a round of applause, does it not? That is amazing. You know, when Wales win something, it really does elevate, you know? And England, of course, you know, they were saying England this, England that, but they kept missing at Wales for some reason. I don't know why, sorry, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, they won it. And, right, did you know that cricket was invented in the 16th century? This is like 500 years, all right? So, what I've done for you, all right, I have, in 2 minutes, right, edited the most exciting thing that's ever happened in cricket in the last 500 years, down into 2 minutes. Now, are you ready to get excited? If you don't understand the rules, don't worry. Listen to how excited the commentator is and pretend you're as excited as him, all right? So 2 minutes, this is worth investing your life into these next 2 minutes. Is that all right? Okay, is there anyone here who absolutely hates cricket? I don't, I love it. Right, there's about 5 of you who hate cricket. Right, please don't leave the room. Just use this as an experience in life. Tell God, I want this to be a significant day in my life. Please teach me something today, even if it is through a cricket highlight. All right? Now then, that was cricket at its finest. All right, now I'm glad you enjoyed that, okay? So, a great final, full of suspense, okay? An amazing Sunday, a significant day. And cricket, great game, all right? Now, but if you ever experienced, as a kid, you played cricket with a tennis ball. Have you ever played tennis, okay, or cricket? A tennis ball is soft, okay? Now, a cricket ball, a real cricket ball, okay, is basically half a brick in a round form, all right? And when you become a kid, and then your teachers, when you get a comp, they start giving you this rock-hard ball. It is a scary time, let me tell you, because that ball gets, like, bowled at you however fast, right? And it is a scary moment. And I remember as a kid thinking, oh, my goodness, how am I going to get out of the way of this? But I was a bowler anyway, so I kind of inflicted the pain, all right? But for a good batsman, you know, has to have the confidence and be brave when that hard ball is coming that way, okay? It's not a tennis ball anymore. It's like a hard ball, and it's like, you know, that is coming at you. So how do you defend that? Well, thankfully, and I am getting to a point somewhere, all right? So a cricket batsman, okay, has a lot of protective gear, okay? And just to help us, there's a very helpful diagram there on the internet, okay? So they've got leg pads and thigh pads, and there's this thing called the box, which protects sensitive areas of the body. And when I first saw one of them in school, I thought, do you keep a loose change in that, or is it an ashtray?
I was shocked, okay? But it's protective, you've got to have it. There's chest protectors down the side. There's padded gloves, so so if the ball hits your hand, you don't feel the pain. There's elbow protectors and helmets. So it makes sense to have a method of protection when you're under threat of a hard ball flying towards you. Do you think that's a good idea? I think so. So the protective batsman involved in a competitive game is subject to continual and sustained threat from the bowler who is bowling the ball to try and get him or her out. Okay, so they need the defense and they need the confidence to be able to bat off the ball, okay? And of course, in cricket, it is a team game, and you could see there amongst those World Cup winners that there was a strong team bond, great effort together. They're playing the best for each other and, helping one another succeed in their journey of the sport that they're called to do. And this kind of analogy and introduction to the talk this morning is because I want to look at some of the words of Paul, which he encouraged the church in Ephesus about in Ephesians in chapter 6. And he talks about the armor of God. And in life, I don't know about you, but when you're a kid and you get on with life and then you become an adult and different things start coming into your life and different challenges or struggles or things which go on, and it's like that. It's not like a tennis ball anymore. It's like a cork ball. It's a hard ball. But Paul, in his pastoral heart and in his kind heart, was helping the church to understand that when difficulties and trials come along, that we're not on our own. We have the love of Christ in our lives. We have the power of God in our lives to help us in that situation and in those journeys. And in this part of the Bible, in Ephesians, there's some themes running through it, okay? Now, one of the themes is God's purpose in life, that God calls each person into a purpose in life, that we're created people to love one another, to enjoy relationship, and to enjoy God. So that's one of the themes. Another theme is this, that Jesus is the center of life. He's like the center of history. He is the focus of life. And having been a person of faith, someone who's put their faith in Jesus, we have this amazing relationship with God. And here in Ephesians, Paul is encouraging the church that, Jesus is the head of the church, head of the body. And we are part of that. Another theme is we're the living church, that God created us as people to have relationships, that he is a good father. We are children of God. We were singing it earlier on. And one of the many blessings of being a living church is we belong to church. We belong to one another. We belong to God. And the church is a living body, a family, a dwelling where God is helping his children to succeed in life, even when the journey gets tough. And the Holy Spirit brings gifts and abilities into our lives, into each individual person, to be able to contribute, to be part of this family, and have a little something to bring. And that is so exciting. And another blessing of being a person of faith is this: we belong to a new family. That God blesses the person with faith to belong to a family. Now, isn't that a great thing, to belong to a family? Now, Folly Farm yesterday was a great opportunity to meet as a family, and it was brilliant to see, people enjoying themselves and enjoying food and cups of tea and coffee and the animals and, the rides and all the rest of it. But I just see things like that as such a blessing, as such an opportunity to spend with people who have a similar faith, bringing up their children, and just enjoying life, and it was a fantastic day that we had. And of course, God's family, for us, he's brought it to be a near thing, to be lived out, to know it in a real way, to belong to God's family, so that, we're not just like tucked up in our own little house with our own natural families, which are also a blessing, but to experience the church family in a real way as well. And God blesses us with that. Sarah mentioned last week about how, someone mentioned to her that the church is like a village, and Sarah mentioned about, looking after John and Sheila and the community of believers who were helping and doing their little bit here and there as well. And, I thought that was a fantastic kind of way of looking at things, that we're a village, that the church of God is like a community, a village, a new family, and that is fantastic. Okay, and at any time of life, whether we're young children or, middle-aged or moving on, up through the ranks, that no matter what time of life we're at, we can know the fullness of God in our lives and in our experience of belonging to family. Isn't that a fantastic thing? Okay, and this is important because it's at the heart of God's plan for humankind, to know acceptance and belonging as our own personal experience in life. So what if and when we're challenged in life and problems come our way, what strategies are there to cope? What strategies are there to cope when that happens? And in this Ephesians chapter 6, Paul makes some very useful and helpful suggestions to the church. And it's like a little blueprint for believers everywhere. And when we consider like challenges come along from different directions in life and for affect a variety of areas of our lives. So like, for example, when we see in the book of Job how someone's body or home or relationships or wealth or friends or family can be adversely affected by circumstances. You know, what strategies are there out there to help us in those times? Sometimes we make poor personal choices with things, and that brings a bit of grief to us. Sometimes things just happen, or other times there is like an enemy of God as well, which we're aware of, we're known as Satan or the devil or whichever. But there's the reality of the challenges of a person with faith that, you know, the devil doesn't like, you know, us having a relationship with God and doesn't like to see people succeed and enjoy life and this kind of stuff. So Paul, in his very kind heart, in his pastoral care, he issues some words of love, some words of compassion to help the church. And it's there in Scripture for us all to gain the benefit of that. So I'm going to read it very quickly. And it's Ephesians 6, verses 10 through to 18. Okay, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand in your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, that you'll fully be prepared. And in addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Aren't these some fantastic words and instruction? And, you know, I know it sounds like a little bit heavy and a little bit full on, but, you know, I trust Paul and I trust God in those words, and that, you know, we can live a real faith and know the real protection of God in our lives and understand these kind of things for us to help us in our lives. So Paul's instructions come as a helpful insight into the spiritual dynamics which we might not naturally consider from time to time. But his words indicate to us that there is a strong enemy, but that we have the power of God at hand to be able to stand against the enemy's strategy and schemes. Now, isn't that good? That is good, yeah? Have you ever felt like under the cosh a bit? Or, you know, you find the things really tough, or, you know, things are going wrong, or something's happened out of the blue, and that just seems like mad for that to happen. But I kind of like turned to God instantly at those moments and asked for God's help. And I remember Julian, teacher, how he prays a lot of the time. He's like, help me, help me, help me. You know, we need help from God, do we not? And this is a great example of how Paul helps us in our thinking and this kind of stuff. So a strategy, what is a strategy? The art of planning and directing overall military operations and movements in a war or battle, not always just military, but other things as well. To scheme a large-scale systematic plan or arrangement for attaining some particular object or putting in a particular idea into effect. So the enemy of God likes to blind the minds of men and women to the truth of God's word. So it's like a bit of a struggle and a bit of a fight going on in the ongoing life's journey of life, okay? So it's good for us to kind of have a little bit of an inside track information from God in the Bible to help us realize, oh yeah, sometimes things are going on which are really there to be like against us in our faith journey, okay? So when we're switched on to that, there's some strategies which Paul has given us to help us. And I remember John Maxwell saying, in all his walks of life, in relationships, in his work commitments, in the various things that he gets into, he says it's like uphill all the way. There's effort, and sometimes there's struggle, and sometimes there's investment in the difficult things, but it's uphill all the way. And I found that talk really interesting. And the enemy can use the world around us to be, you know, to be a difficult situation, or sometimes, like the Bible talks about the flesh, our inner passions and desires, where we may be tempted to do this, that, and the other, but there's like a little bit of a battle going on, okay? But in that spiritual opposition and fight going on, there's this spiritual equipment that God has given us to know the protection of God in our lives, to know the protection of the community of God as well, where we've got friends and family members who have spiritual insight and wisdom, well, we hope so, all right, have wisdom to help us in our life's walk, okay? And this is brilliant, to belong to that church community. So what I'm going to do very quickly, I'm not going to go through all those points, okay, in Ephesians 6, you'll be glad to know. I'm just going to do the first three very quickly as like little take-home snippets to help us in the start of our summer holidays, isn't it? Isn't that a good way to start, I think, is to be like enjoying the summer and having a little bit of input from God as well to help us in that. Okay, right, this has changed from cricket, hasn't it? Right on. Okay, so first of all, we've got the belt of truth. So we know that from John, in the Gospel of John, it talks about like the enemy, he's a liar basically. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So because of that, it's kind of, it helps us in our understanding in our walk in life is to be a people who walk in truth and integrity. And that kind of opposes what the enemy stands for and who he is and in his nature. It, you know, we stand against that because we walk in truth and this kind of stuff. And what is important, so this belt, okay, in the old school attire, it would connect together all the armor, okay? So it would be around the middle section. It would contain together all the bits, okay, of the armor. So we see this as an important part of the equipment. So living a truthful life is like essential for us. So when we speak and when we act out in our lives, we have like integrity, and truth provides us then with a clear conscience. Do you love it when it kind of you're walking around with a clear conscience? Isn't that good? You know, sometimes if we trip up or there's difficulties or we say something or think something, and it kind of pricks our conscience, you know, the God conscious within us. And then it's like that kind of, oh, makes us stop a little bit, doesn't it? But when we kind of give ourselves to God and continue to, you know, pray about things and allow his holiness in our lives, we really, it's good fine-tuning our conscience, okay? So that is good. So we're living out of a truth and this kind of stuff. And that helps us to face opposition without fear, because God is a gracious God. He's a kind God. So when a person lies, he usually, you know, that person is usually covering up something because of their own wrongdoing, or they don't want to get found out, or they want to cause trouble for someone else, or cause a false impression, okay? Now, you know, as a kid, okay, I was a king of it, of like, you know, telling little fibs, little white lies as a child, to get out of trouble. I don't know, have we all been there? Maybe, I don't know. Okay, but anyway, I only confessed some of these things to my parents, like when I was in my late 20s, okay? I felt it was part of the cleansing process, the sanctification process of becoming a Christian, is to own up a couple of things I did as a kid. One of those things was we'd love to play football. I got two younger brothers. We'd play football in the front room. My mother always used to collect ornaments, okay? Bad mixture. Kids playing football in the front room and ornaments, okay? Now then, my mother still has quite a few of those ornaments, and most of them have their heads glued back on. Okay, so I don't know if she noticed that, but anyway, we did glue most of the ornaments back together again. We were having a fight with some of our so-called friends up the street. He has kids who play outside with their mates and all that. But sometimes it escalated from, you know, Japanese knotweed. We used to cut them into bits and throw them at each other. All right, but it escalated to throwing stones at each other. And on this particular instance, I threw a stone and hit my brother in the back of the head. That's bad, didn't it? Anyway, cut his head. And I got away with it by saying one of the other kids threw it. It hit the wall, ricocheted back, and hit him on the head. And I got away with that for like 20 years. But Leon, sorry about that, but hit him in the back of the head with a stone. So that was bad. I felt bad about that. But you lie, don't you, to cover up your misdemeanors and get out of trouble. And what I think, as you know, as Christian people, is when we live with integrity and we live a life of truth, it's a good thing, isn't it? You know, I constantly encourage our children to say the truth. When you know the truth, you can work with that, can't you? If someone's made a mistake, well, okay, you made a mistake, but we can work with truth. If you're working with lies, have you ever tried holding a bar of soap, a wet bar of soap? You can't do anything with it, can you? No. But when we say, you know, we speak truth and we can work with things, we got a bottle of shower gel, which isn't slippery, isn't it? Okay? Not a slippery bar of soap. So to encourage truth in our lives. King David, as we know, was a man after God's own heart, anointed man, awesome man of God. But a season of his life, you know, he messed up big time and he lied about his sin with Bathsheba. And as a consequence, like nothing went right for him, did it, in that like particular season of time? And we read some of the things he was going with and the price he paid in Psalm 32 and 51. So it's important to develop honesty, help, and trust. And we can see through the life of David that God does, you know, does help us, doesn't he, in our times of need and in our times of struggle and mistakes and this kind of stuff, that, you know, that isn't then the end of the story, because God is doing a miraculous work in our lives. And that work, you know, it does finish eventually, but in the meantime, it's a process. So being, having truth in our lives is a great way of being able to stand against the enemy's schemes. Okay, and that's why, you know, like Jesus encouraged his followers, you know, if a brother is sin and you want to go and help them out, well, just make sure, you know, that there isn't like a plank in your own eye if you're trying to help the dust out of the other person's eye. Okay, so that is good. So if we can consider that for a moment, we can constantly allow the truth of Christ to be totally established in our lives. And it's a great way to counter the lies of the enemies. Okay, so that's that. The next little bit then is the body armor of God's righteousness, okay? So as you can see from that picture there, this piece of armor, all right, was made like of a metal plate or like chains, and it covered the front of the body and the back of the body from the neck down to the waist kind of area, all right? So this symbolizes the believer's like righteousness in Christ, this particular part, okay? And in 2 Corinthians 5 says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we can understand from that verse there that, you know, there's righteousness in our lives because of the work that Jesus has done. Isn't that a very reassuring fact? And as we know, the journey of becoming more like Christ in our lives, it's like, you know, that is the truth. That is the truth of God at work in our lives, that faith in Jesus, we become more and more like him. And because of that righteousness, it is such a fantastic truth. So when the accuser comes along and says, you know, you're not good enough, you know, you're not sin-free enough, you know, you don't always do this, you don't always do that, and, you know, we internalize and understand there's like an opposition to the grace and the love and the compassion of God. And that is an important thing to remember, is to remember that we have, we're in a spiritual position, that we are righteous in Christ. And in all of that, then, there's a practicality, there's an outworking in that we choose to develop these righteous like characteristics in our life then. In Proverbs 18, verse 10, it says this, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So Jesus like is our defense. He's the person that we run to in times of opposition and difficulty. You know, we can know there is safety in him. And that is a really important thing. And the body armor protects the vital organs to help the body function correctly, isn't it? So there's one way of looking at that. We could look at it individually. That is important for us personally. But also belonging to the church or belonging to God's family. That, you know, that these vital organs within us, we're all like different parts of the body, aren't we? So we're looking out for one another and we're protecting one another in our prayers, in our language, in our relationships. And this helps the church family kind of function successfully, okay? And when someone is hurt, a person is hurt, you know, that is something that we all feel, isn't it? In Romans 12, verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So when we're living in like a vibrant church, we belong to a community, It's like we're for one another. When people go through tough times, we're there with them, praying and helping and speaking and still relating to people. And there's also times where, you know, we celebrate, isn't it? When good things are going on, we love it. When babies are born and, you know, exams are passed and birthdays are celebrated and marriages are made. And together we celebrate those times. So it's good, you know, to know that, that God is at work in this church community here. And as a person, we've all got something to bring and something to share. And that, you know, understanding the righteousness of God. Yes, we know we're not perfect people, but we're called righteous in Christ, okay? So that is a fantastic truth to remember, and that is one Paul encourages the church with. Okay, and finally, the last point, the shoes of the gospel. Now then, the Roman soldiers of the day wore sandals with hobnails in the soles for better footing in the battle, okay? Now then, this provided the ability to stand with sure footing when they, you know, they were under attack. But also, not just standing there, but to withstand the pressure and the force that came along. So therefore, you know, we find peace in God through this gospel, through this good news. And when we remember that and that we're living out our daily lives, you know, the walk, it's like we walk on something that is amazing. The peace of God in our lives, the grace of God in our lives. And that is something that we can really withstand against the enemy's strategies, because he would want to, you know, upset us and turn the gas up on our lives as well. But we know we can withstand the enemy's, you know, strategies for our lives with sure footing, knowing that we are a saved community, a saved people who live through faith and in faith, and God has done the work for us. So this message of Jesus is one that brings about peace, not just for our own lives, but we're also messengers as well to take this experience, to take this life-changing relationship that we have in God, and to take it out there and share this story and message with others. And we've heard this verse quite a few times in Isaiah 52. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that God of Israel reigns. What a fantastic message. And as we know, as a church and as many churches throughout Wales, we've just done the mission just a couple of weeks ago, there was a gentleman currently doesn't have a home, and Laura and I went out together as a pair to go and take this message to the streets that God loves people and has a plan for their lives, and get the opportunity, you know, to share a little bit about God. And Laura spoke with this young man. And his name was Di, and Laura had this conversation with him, and as bit by bit, she said, you know, Di, did you know that God, you know, loves you and has a plan for your life? And he's like, no, I didn't know that. I've never heard that before. And the conversation went on, and Laura said, would you like me to pray for you? And you can actually pray to God to know and experience this, you know, life-changing relationship with God. And he said, no, I don't know how to do that. How do I do that? How do I pray? And it's like, there's a how, there's a question of how. There is a question of how do I know God? There's a question of how can I have my sins forgiven? There's a question of how can I know that there's eternal life? There's a question of how can I belong to a real church family and the love and acceptance of God? How? How do people know? Because us, people who have experienced this loving grace of God, have the opportunity to be messengers who bring good news. And it's a fantastic thing to see and experience when we have that opportunity and go for it. And it is a great opportunity. So it's sure footing. It's bringing a message of grace and peace, okay? And it kind of gives us an encouragement. Seeing Seb, you know, Seb is a very good runner, okay? And I used to be a good runner, believe it or not, back in the day when I was young. And we had a sports day in the church not so long ago, right? And we had a 20-meter race, which I was confident I was going to win quite easily. And I was racing against Sam, my eldest boy, and a few others as well. It turned out that I slipped right at the start and pulled my hamstring. And it still hurts. It was about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? So I must have torn it, okay? But I didn't have sure footing. That's my excuse. Flat trainers, grass, damp grass. Everyone else was wearing like spikes and stuff, weren't they? And togs and things like that, so they had grip. But anyway, slipped, two strides in, pulled my hamstring. I couldn't pull up, pulled my leg, I'd be embarrassing. So I went through the pain barrier, I got through the finish line in last place, and then still feeling the pain now. But I just want to say, to have sure footing to know in reality the grace of God in our lives, the message of the gospel, that is such a big, key, significant thing in our day-to-day walk, all right? So let's remember that great bit of advice from Paul, you know, to be those who have the shoes of the gospel, that we know the peace of Jesus in our lives. Okay, so that was the last point, and that's it for today. So in summary then, just let's remember that we're part of the body of Christ, the church, that, you know, we belong to this blessing, a new family, a community, a village. In our journey, we can experience opposition, but have the tools in place to defend ourselves. We have the belt of truth, integrity, the body armor of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel. And at some stage of life, who knows where, who knows when, I will do the other little bit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit as well, in another talk at some stage of life. That would be good, wouldn't it? Okay, great. Let's close our eyes, and I'll hand back over to Sarah. Yes, Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace, Lord. And in this season of life, for each of us, we're all on our own kind of journeys as individuals and as families. But also, there's this greater, you know, church community and what you're doing throughout the world, Lord, in Swansea, in the nation, in the nations around us, Lord. And we pray again, Lord, for more of your peace, Lord, and for understanding that sometimes there's opposition out there, but that we are the people who hold on to truth, who hold on to grace in our life's experience. We are the ones, Lord, who, you know, understand the importance of the belt of truth in our lives and, you know, these different things that you've called us to, you know, the body armor of righteousness and, you know, the message of peace of the gospel, Lord. So help us today, Lord, to be those who know you in a real way and, you know, what you do in our lives, Lord. May that also kind of come out of us into the different areas and the different people that we deal with from a day-to-day basis. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.